this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good afternoon. It's fantastic to be back at the Pretoria Church. My children are also at home with my husband. And I asked him yesterday, oh, what did you do? He said, no, we just watched some DVDs. And then I spoke to him this afternoon. I said, what did you do today? He said, oh, no, we just watched some DVDs. I'm not sure how many DVDs he showed them already. I think that's the privilege of a dad. Sorry, this is bothering me. Here we go. So, we were driving here from Standerton, and I was just saying a silent prayer for the situation at home and school tomorrow, and that everything will be happening the way that it should. But God has a way of covering these things beautifully. As mothers, we think that if we are not there, everything is going to go wrong, and then nothing goes wrong. It always works out. Yes, so who of the ladies were at the Awaken Conference? Okay, yay. we really had a fantastic weekend in the presence of God. It really is the most amazing thing to look back at a weekend like this. And I've been quite involved in organizing all of the Awaken Conferences. And there's so much work that goes into it and so much effort. And it's so amazing then to stand back on the weekend and just behold the work of the Lord and what God is doing in the hearts of women, specifically this weekend. And we just want to honor God just for what he did. I just want to pray quickly. God, it is so good to be in your presence, Lord. It is so good to know you, Father. It is so good to go through everything that you take us through, Lord. God, it is the best thing ever just to know you, God, and to surrender to you, Lord. Father, and we pray that the Spirit of God will take over here today, will speak to us, will minister to our hearts, will change us. And God, that when we look in the mirror again, we will see more of Jesus because of the Spirit of God. Lord, we trust you. We trust you that you will speak to us. We trust you, Lord. God, your word says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. So God, our trust is not in man today. It is in you, Lord. We worship you for that. In Jesus' name. The theme of our Awaken Conference is the scripture, Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is the scripture that we just felt that God has given us. And even though this is what we felt God was laying on our hearts, we didn't really know what the beauty of holiness is. We discovered as we tried to develop the theme for the conference. And my topic that I spoke on yesterday was the beauty of holiness. So I started preparing a sermon on holiness and trying to discover what holiness is. I became born again in 1995. And so I've been with the Lord for a while. And I thought I should be able by now to have a definition for holiness. So it took me about 2 weeks of trying to prepare. And I read almost the whole of Leviticus, which is the book of holiness. And I just got stuck at the fact that the holiness of God cannot be described. There is no way to define it, really. And I was taken back to my childhood years. I grew up in a very traditional, very, very serious church where all the men wore black suits and white or black ties, and we had to wear hats and little dresses to church. And I remember the minister would wear that black thing. To me, it looked like a superhero kind of outfit. I don't know what you call it. But I remember he would lift his arms to speak the blessing over us. And you know, the podium in our church was like almost where the roof is now. Exaggerating just a little bit. It was very, very high up. And I was small. I was a very particularly tiny little girl. And when he used to lift his arms like this, I was... nothing could scare me more than this. To me, it looked like something extremely intimidating when he did that. And then I didn't understand the blessing that was spoken over us. The only thing that I could think was, I need to be holy. This is serious stuff. This is very intimidating, because in my mind, that is exactly what God looked like, you know, standing like this with this black thing. And I better be holy. And I grew up with this understanding of God and you know, feeling constantly condemned over my sin. And then I became truly again in 1995. And since then, I'm on a journey of discovering the holiness of God. And I can truly say that it is the most beautiful thing. And I think that we tend to think that holiness is the absence of sin. I remember in school, we always had those children who wouldn't do anything wrong. Who of you were like that? Come on. Ah, a couple of us here. you know, it's probably a personality type, or you had very strict parents. I don't know what, but there were some children. We were in hostel since we were 8, so, you know, you just have to create some fun in your life. So we used to do some stupid things, especially in the hostel. And then there were always those who wouldn't do it with us. And then the rest of us would say, yeah, are yourself so heilig. You keep yourself so holy. You are so holy, you know. You never sin. You were so holy and should sin from time to time. And what I have learned in my journey with God is that if holiness was only the absence of sin, then it can't be, because God existed before sin existed, and God has always been holy. So there must be so much more. And the more I allow God into my heart and into my mind and to use me and use my body and use my strength and whatever he wants to use, the more I discover the beauty of his holiness. And I want to read to you from Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. Male and female in the image of God. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning came, and it were the sixth day. God created us in his image. And then he said, it is very good. We look at our children. It is such an incredible privilege to have children. We need to understand that. And me and my husband, we look at our children and we see that they were made in our image. My oldest little girl is 11 now, and it is scary. She looks like me. She sounds like me. And I told somebody, I think people think I brainwash her to be like me. And I am not doing anything. She just happens to be a mini me. And I'm trying very hard to let her be her own person, but she's just becoming a little replica of me, and there's nothing that I can do about it. And then our oldest son looks exactly like his dad. He's just a replica. And luckily there's another girl, and she's not anything like me. She's an introvert, which is amazing to have in our house. It's very different from the rest of us. And we look at them and we see they were made in our image, and it is good. At the Awaken conference, Christine from the Johannesburg church, you might know her, Jan George's wife, it was her little girl that danced on the stage, little Elaine. She's 3 years old. And Christine was just testifying what happened to her heart. Every mother here will understand this. What happened to her heart when her little girl started dancing on that stage. And she's just crying while she explains this. And I'm just thinking, you know, we look at our children made in our image, and it is good. It is good. It is beautiful. And in the same way, God looks at us and he says, I made you in my image, and it is good. It's the word says, everything that God did, he did well. It was good. So whenever we look in the mirror again, remember that we are made in the image of God. We see in Matthew 7, verse 37, they speak about Jesus and they say, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And when we become born again, made in the image of God, it is God's greatest desire that we will start to partake in his holiness. And the holiness of God is everything that he is. It is his excellence. It is his beauty. It is his strength. It is his giving heart. It is his endurance, his love, his patience, his kindness. All those things, the Word of God says, when we see him, we shall be like him. But here on earth, one day in heaven, when we see him, we shall be like him. But here on earth, we can see him through the Holy Spirit, through our spirit man, and we can become like him. And when people come into our presence, they can experience something of the holiness of God, and it is the most beautiful thing. And the more we surrender to him, the more we become like him, the more we will be a massive influence to those who still need him, to those who are in desperate need. The Word of God says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This, to me, is one of the most amazing scriptures. God says, before you were born, I have created you to do some specific good works. We were speaking at the Awaken conference about Mary being pregnant with Jesus and her cousin Elizabeth being pregnant with John the Baptist. And the fact that God has separated them for his purposes, and that he planted a seed in them that would change the course of history. And we look at them and we think, wow. But what we should not forget is there was no difference between Mary and Elizabeth and Moses and Abraham and name them and us. We just live in a different generation. And God says, I want to plant my seeds in you. I want to make you pregnant with my seeds. And I want my purposes to grow in you, because I have created you for a set of good works which will bear eternal fruit. And when we look at Moses had a hard life. It started out quite glamorously, being in the palace, being the son of the Pharaoh. And then Moses discovers his true identity, and he ends up murdering one of the Egyptian taskmasters. I'm sure most of us will know the story. And then he runs away, and he ends up in the desert, and he becomes a shepherd. And God is busy preparing Moses all the time. Moses is not even aware of the fact that God is preparing him for something much greater, much bigger than he could ever imagine. I remember, I keep on thinking about Debbie that said at the conference, don't make small what God wants to make large. Don't make small what God wants to make large. And Moses is in the desert, and the Lord Jesus appears to him from the burning bush. And the bush is burning, but it's not burning. It's just a burning bush, and it keeps on burning. It's a miracle. And the Lord says the following to Moses. He says, Moses, take off your shoes, because this just became holy ground. Because my presence is here, Moses, and I want to speak to you. Because ever since you were born, even before your birth, just like Jesus who came later, just like John the Baptist, I have set you apart for my purposes. And where I am with you now, this is holy ground. And God comes to us and he says, I know you are just a shepherd. I know you are just in the desert. I know it is not extremely significant. I do not know what all of you, I do not know you personally. I don't know what you do. I don't know what your life is like. But for most of us, it's pretty ordinary. Pretty ordinary. God says, I know that. But take the ordinary and change it into holy ground. Take the ordinary and change it into holy ground. I remember when I started having babies, and I had 5 in 7 years' time. And I remember being quite overwhelmed and quite exhausted. And I would go and I would sit in the kitchen. And it would just be a mess. The kitchen would be a mess. I didn't have domestic help. Sometimes I did, but mostly not. And just the babies and nothing spectacular, nothing to write home about, nothing seemingly significant, nothing that I signed up for ever. And I would sit in the kitchen and I would cry out to God. And my kitchen would become holy ground. My ordinary would become my extraordinary. I cannot tell you how much God shaped me and molded me, and I'm sure it's the same for many of us here, in my ordinary. Because I chose the presence of God. I'm thinking about Paul and Silas in prison, a dreadful place. You know, when we think of prison, we have like a Western prison, which is quite bad in our minds. But Paul was in a dungeon. There were rats and I don't know what other kinds of animals. They were tortured. And they sit there in that prison and they change the prison into holy ground because they invite the presence of God. They invite the holiness of God to come in and to fill that place. I was sitting today just thinking about this amazing weekend and how extraordinary it has been, and going back on a plane tomorrow, and I will be right back into my ordinary life. Fetching kids at school, washing dishes, helping them with their homework, doing my admin at church. And I said, God, change my ordinary into extraordinary. And what God is saying, God says, I want to separate you. In Leviticus, God says, he keeps on telling to the people, telling his people, be holy as I am holy. And he separated them completely. He took them, they were different from any other nation or tribe around them. They were completely different. Their customs were different. And God said, I want you to be different because I want you to be holy like I am holy. And we must understand as the church that we are very, very different from the world. We are very different. And we must surrender to it. And we must embrace it. I just look at marriages. I've been doing quite a bit of talk on marriage this weekend. I don't know why. You know, the Word of God says, the wife is the helper of the husband. And the husband must love his wife and lay down his life as Christ is laying down his life for the church. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say, forgive me. There are not too many mothers here. They come to the morning service. But nowhere in the Word of God does it say that the husband should help the wife. It's godly. He should lay down his life for her. But the wife is the helper. I look at marriages and I see broken marriages around me all the time because of women who are not willing to bend their knee to the ways of God. The Word of God says, train your child in God's ways, in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. There is so much that God says in his Word. I want to read another scripture. I want to read from Psalm 91. Verse 1 and 2 and verse 4. Verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And then verse 4. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I went to God and I said, God, where is this place? Where is this shelter? Where is this safe place? How do I get there and how do I stay there? And I had a picture. I had a picture in my mind of my husband and our children. I specifically had a picture of Mikaela, who is the oldest one. As I said, she's 11 years old. And I just saw something playing off in my mind again that really happened. Mikaela coming to us and asking if she could sleep over at a friend's house. And my husband, her father, her protector, her provider, says to her, we do not know these people at all. And it is not safe for you to sleep somewhere where we know nothing of the people. You are more than welcome to sleep with this and this and this child, where we know the parents well. But as your father, as your protector, as your provider, as your nurturer, your parents, we are protecting you from this. You may not go. And how upset she was. But we are telling her to remain in the shelter, remain in the safe place. And she could walk out of the gate and go, I suppose. And anything could happen to her because she would remove herself from the shelter. The choice is hers. She's big enough to go. She can choose. God says to us, I have a standard, and it is quite high. It is a very high standard to forgive all those who offend you, especially if you were abused or raped or abandoned. God says, I have a standard, and it is very high, because it is level with my holiness. And God says, I want you to stick to that standard. God set the standard in the Old Testament and the people could not do it. And Jesus came to die. Jesus gave his body up severe suffering. He begged God to let the cup pass him. And now God says, I have set a standard of holiness, but not by a whole list of rules and regulations, but by writing my law on your heart. In other words, by out of a place of love, pursuing me and pursuing my holiness. And I can stand here today and I can assure you, most of the tears that I have cried in the past 20 years since I have given my life to the Lord, and it was many, 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 is because I would not yield to God's way. I would not surrender to God's way. I would not bend my knee to God's way. And the moment when we do, the moment when we submit to God's high standard, there comes supernatural ability from the Holy Spirit. It's like a miracle every time. And we are able to do it. We are able to forgive. We are able to help our husbands. We are able to love our wives. We are able to do, I don't know what it is, what God is calling you to do, but we are able to do it. Because now God says, these are the good works that I'm separating you for. Come, come, be holy. Let me change you. Most of the change will be painful, and most of it will be hard, and most of it will happen on your knees during hard times. But I will change you, and you will do your set of good works. The Word of God says David died having done everything that God has called him to do. Wow. Wow. I told my family, I should tell my children, but they're still a little bit young. When I die one day, please put this on. If you are going to spend money on a tombstone, because sometimes I think, why? But anyway, put on there, and she has died. I mean, if that is your opinion, having done everything that God has called her to do. And I really want to say that without the Word of God and without the Holy Spirit, it will never happen. By staying in our comfort zones, it will never happen. Moses could never lead Israel out of slavery if he chose to stay in his comfort zone. And it is okay to wrestle with God. I saw the ladies at the Awaken conference who are afraid of public speaking, who had to do announcements. I saw them there at the back. Some of them want to vomit. They are so nervous. And I love watching it. I love it. They walk onto the stage with this microphone going like this. And their voices are trembling for 1 minute. And then they take courage and they speak. And they do it well. Because they choose to walk out of their comfort zone. And God says, never, ever, ever will you be able to complete your set of good works if you want to remain in your comfort zone. He will always take us out, and it will always be painful. I just had a conversation with Anita there at the back, and she said to me, I never know what the next step is. But I always have to walk by faith, and it always works. I never know what the next step is. For all of us, it is different, but all I know is that God says, if you really want to become and do and fulfill what I have called you to do, then you have to surrender everything. You have to surrender everything. And I will come with my supernatural power. The Word of God says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, but by His Spirit, God has revealed it to us. By His Spirit. Sometimes I wake up at night and I think about my life and I think, God, how on earth did I get here? How on earth did it happen? it is too big. It is too much. I don't know how to do this, God. Why? There's another day, you know, I wake up in the morning and it's like this bear that I have to now, you know, kill again. And or it's this mountain that I have to climb again. And then I go to bed in the evening exhausted. And I have this one thing on my mind. At least I can say that I have a full life. At least I can say, it's not boring, at least I can say I am constantly driven out of my comfort zone. Because I am desperate. I really, truly am desperate to find out what my set of good works are and to complete it before I die. My prayer for us really is that we will pursue the holiness of God. And it is very often challenging. You know, I became born again in 1995, and it was just bliss. It was just that being in love with Jesus and not knowing anything else but Jesus. It was for the first year or two, it was just prophecy after prophecy, and it was just church, it was just bliss. And then life started to happen. And I remember about 7, 8 years ago, I did a 7-day fast. I never did it again. It's very hard to fast for some of us. I did a 7-day fast. And the one day, I was very hungry. And I was crying out to God. And I had a very powerful encounter with God. I just had an unction that I just had to go and be alone with God. I was working at the church office, and I just went and I locked myself in the mother's room. There was nobody there. And I was there in the mother's room, and the voice of God spoke to me more clearly. I've only heard the voice of God like that about 4 times in my life. And he said to me, "Do you know that I have called you?" And I said, "God, I know." And he said, "Are you willing to pay the price?" And I said, "God, I don't know what the price is." God said, "I know, but it is high. Are you willing to pay it? Are you willing to constantly, constantly surrender to me? Are you willing to trust me when you cannot see and when you cannot understand? Are you willing to trust me when nothing makes sense? Are you willing to surrender everything?" And I had to ponder on that. And it was a very intimate moment for me. I'm not sharing it lightly, but I was just lying on the floor, I was just in the presence of God, just sobbing. And I said, "God, I am willing. I am willing to pay the price. I am willing to pay the price." And the reward for that is to just taste some of that holiness, some of that, just that beauty of God. Can we stand? You know, we had this lady at the conference. Her name is Nelly, a lady from the DRC. Speaks with quite a heavy French accent. She stole my heart. She stole my heart. I just want to be around her. I just want to know her. She's in the Johannesburg church. She has 4 children. One has cerebral palsy. They had to flee the DRC because of war. She's been through deep, deep waters. And she spoke to us from the couch session. And she said this. She said, "You know, this faith thing, this faith journey, it is madness." It is madness. And I completely understood. I completely understood what she said. It is just madness. Following God is just madness. But there really is a lot of method in this madness. Because God is in it. And I want to challenge us this afternoon. God says, "I want to take you on an adventure with me. Are you brave enough? Are you brave enough to do it? Or are you going to remain in your safe place?" And I know this is a little bit abstract, but I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, if you seek God with all of your heart, if He is your one and only greatest desire, He will show you the way. And half of the time, you will think, I have no idea what is going on here. I have no idea. Like Moses in the desert, he went from the son of Pharaoh to a simple shepherd. He had no idea what was coming. No idea. God said, Moses, I want you to go. He said, I will not do it. I will not go. I stutter. I will not speak to the Pharaoh. No, no, no. God became angry. But God has a lot of patience. And some of us here just need to say, God, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but I desire your holiness and I desire to go on this journey with you, whatever it may be. And yes, God, I will stumble many times, I will fall many times, but the word of God says His arm is not too short to save. His mercies are new every morning. Whenever you stumble, whenever you fall, there is the mercy of God and not the judgment. There was a lady who came to me. I'm sorry you were standing. Please sit if you are tired. I'm almost finished. Didn't plan on still speaking so much. There was a lady who came to me at the conference. And shame was all, it was written all over her. Just shame. All I could see, I just saw shame. And she said, there's something that I need to tell you. I said, please tell me. She said, I can't. I said, please tell me. She said, I can't. I said, just do it. She said, I battle with pornography. And I'm so ashamed. And I could look at her and say, that's fine. Jesus died. He will forgive you. There is no shame. There is no shame. Because He is good. He is mercy. He is loving kindness more than anything else. I want to read this scripture again before we pray from Psalm 91 verse 4. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. Our strong Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. or find us on facebook.com/ShofarPretoria.